You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. An afternoon drive home like no other.
That dirty rum-nosed René Rancourt shows up in the series sometime against the Leafs.
I'm telling you, he's showing up.
Fist pumping.
Counting.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, we are locked in this afternoon. Locked in. No distractions in the studio. Nothing but hot takes and full-blown professional analysis.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's right.
So how are we going to do this then? We've got...
We got Tiger on 17. Just cut to the chase here. Tiger Woods is 3-under. He's on the leaderboard. He's atop the leaderboard. He's tied with a couple of different guys. John Rahm, who he's actually playing with today. But Tiger Woods is 3-under. He's kind of chopping it around 17.
Why are you talking about the Masters when we have an expert producer who does television hits for golf? Al, do you have any kind of Masters update?
Well, Tiger Woods has been playing fantastic. Rory McIlroy may have saved his opening round with a huge shot over the trees, now at to under 1-under, which is looking good.
Come on now.
On TV. Come on.
Come on now.
This is your shot.
Well, we're putting the pressure on him because I don't think he was ready.
What else after McIlroy?
Yeah.
What else after McIlroy? Well, Canadian Corey Connors, -2 for the day, was leading at one point while he walked into the clubhouse. And Mike Weir shot an even par, which I think is huge for Weirzy.
All right, there we go. All right, the Canadian content. I do think that's important to point out that Mike Weir shot a 72 today, which I think is the most shocking score of the whole afternoon.
He's usually 80-80 in his trunk.
I told you.
He is. He's 80-80 trunk slamming. What's so bad? I mean, that's just the truth.
I know that, but it's like, just it's so graphic.
Peeling out of the parking lot.
Just an 80-80 in a trunk slam.
That's what they call it. This guy's a trunk slammer. Never makes a cut. Just wheels right out with 6 on ice and slams the trunk shut.
He's Happy Gilmore early into the movie.
So he
not making the cut, but walking.
He doesn't have a car service or anything.
No.
He's driven there. No. In a Ford Focus rental
car.
Just
a beat-up old gremlin, a green one, and just slams the trunk and drives.
There was a time when Mike Weir was the guy.
Well, he won the Masters. He won the Masters in 03.
I got to be honest, I had a bit of a heroic moment with him, which kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I've had a few people say that old Weirzy's kind of big-leagued them.
We were at a concert. I'm good friends with the band. He was there to see the band. We're in a VIP scenario, like literally in the dressing room. I'm welcome there because I grew up with one of the guys. Like, they introduced me to him, nice guy, and he literally couldn't have cared less. Now, and I'm not, doesn't matter. It didn't break my heart, but I thought, you know, it wasn't a meet and greet. Like, he didn't even look me in the eye. He kind of just gave me the handshake with the head turn.
Well, what year are we talking here?
Would have been 8 years ago, 9 years. Like, he was a very good golfer at the time.
Yeah, because if you got Mike Weir, I would think after he won the Masters, he would have been one of the most popular Canadians going. And that would have been like A-list, VIP, big timing. No, but I'm not saying, you know, you should do that or you condone that type of
But I wasn't at the
activity.
Golf course. We were in a social setting at a rock concert. Like, it was unnerving for me. I embarrassed myself, I felt. Like, I was like, hey, nice to meet you. I don't follow golf that closely. Certainly knew who he was, but he kind of dusted me. And after that, I was like, I hope you hit the toilet.
So are you banking on him shooting like 85 tomorrow?
I hope that he actually makes it and doesn't have to trunk slam.
I'll say it's 75 plus.
You think so? No, I want this guy to do well because he's a Canadian. My friend says he's a good guy.
You think he's going to make the cut tomorrow?
No, I don't.
He's trunk slamming.
Well, we thought we would do this. We're going to bring a couple of different worlds together here today because we're out of here at 6:30 for the Maple Leaf pregame show. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs began last night. They continue tonight. Leafs Bruins tonight. 6:30 pregame, puck drop at 7. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. So we're going to do a lot of Leaf talk, a lot of NHL playoff talk today. But also, we're tracking the Masters. And I think throughout the afternoon, over the next 2.5 hours, we can probably throw out a couple of takes. And if you would agree with the take, you would be Vern Lundquist.
Yes, sir!
If you disagree with the take, you would be Sir Nick Faldo.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that's,
I guess,
great.
You know, and this isn't going to be like a built-in bit, like, listen, no, at this time. We're just going to kind of ease into the day and see where it takes us. But I guess we'll begin there. Do you believe that Mike Weir, forget making the cut, do you think Mike Weir breaks 80 tomorrow?
Yes.
No guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, sir!
It's a combination of both. I'll go Nick Faldo on that.
Oh, my goodness.
I just sorry. I should have said.
It doesn't matter.
I should have said Vern.
Nicky
no.
Faldo.
Yeah, you're
Vern. Oh, my goodness.
And give me Vern Lundquist.
Yes, sir!
Because I believe he will.
Okay.
There's always a great little story coming out.
Well, that's not going to be it. Like, if Tiger Woods can close out his round here sitting atop the leaderboard, that is the biggest story coming out of Augusta.
For sure.
From a Canadian perspective, the fact that Corey Connors, like our boy Al just pointed out, 2 under in the clubhouse, that is a spectacular
round. He's not intimidated.
Well, that's where I wonder.
Off a win last week.
Does he wake up in the middle of the night and soil his pants? Like, no. Does he wake up and go, I can't believe I'm at 2 under?
He looks in the mirror and all he sees is Greg Norman's face and sharts his pants.
No, didn't he have a little stop and chat with him? Wasn't that, and I thought I saw on the internet that he was having a chat with a legend.
That was Jack Nicklaus.
Sorry, Jack Nicklaus. Yeah,
because he teed off first today.
Yeah.
Nicklaus went out for the ceremonial first tee, and then Corey Connors.
Norman, but yeah, Nicklaus. Sorry.
No, you avoid Greg Norman. Like, Greg Norman is poisonous around Augusta National. because he's got a bad voodoo going. Like, his
he
whole,
wouldn't be there anyway. He's never won the golf tournament.
Well, okay, but he can still. Yeah, you're right. He wouldn't be there. But isn't he an analyst now, or he tried to be an analyst for a while?
He tried
got
to do
Fox.
Some stuff for Fox, but then.
So he's just poisoned because.
Well, he chokes away. Yeah, he's probably the most famous choke job ever.
I asked him.
I'm going to get Mullis to play the audio of the choke. All you hear is Norman bogeys, Faldo only back 4. Norman bogeys, Faldo 3. And then Faldo wins by like 5. I'm gonna play this for you, and when you hear it, you'll throw up in your mouth.
Yeah.
But that's not the greatest choke job of all time.
It is one of them.
It's
man.
One of the most famous. Definitely.
You showed me one yesterday. Was that, who was that, Ernie Els?
No, Scott Hoke missed a 2-foot putt to win the Masters.
That's right.
And sharted all over himself. And Faldo won that one, too.
Yeah, Faldo just backdoors his way into tournaments. Like, yeah, he's a great player.
If you want to see something disgusting, YouTube Scott Hoke misses 2-foot putt at Augusta National. You will throw up.
Tiger Woods bogeyed 17, so here we go. Now he's rolling on to 18. He's 2 under. Yeah, still a great start, but anyway, we'll track what's up with Tiger. The Leafs are in Boston tonight.
Good hockey games last night, too.
Some really good
amazing.
Games. Really
amazing.
Good games. Although, yeah. You noticed that was brought up to the Leafs today. Like, hey, any inspiration because Dallas went in and won, because Columbus... What are they supposed to say?
Yeah, we're really jacked up now. Now we're focused.
Now we think we can win. Like, because Columbus came back and won. Now we feel like we can win.
By the way, what a goaltending performance. Down 3-0 and 3-1. Bobrovsky made some unreal saves. Where most goalies will just be like, get this over with.
Halfway through the first period, when you're down 3, Cobb.
I didn't watch another second until it was 3-2. Like, why would you be watching that game?
But you're watching it to see how ugly it can get, and all of a sudden it's like, meh. Columbus starts to chip away. You're right. Bob makes some big saves at the right time. There were some clutch performances last night in net. Binnington save with about 24 seconds left on Scheifele on the back. That was a hell of a save.
Scheifele got that off.
He did.
Like, I know they said on the telecast, like, he didn't get it all. No,
I think he got it.
He got it all.
He may not have hit his spot that he wanted to, but he got all of it.
He would have loved to clearly put it under the bar, but that it wasn't like a true one-timer. It was a weird angle, and for him to get it on the net the way he did, I thought he got off everything he possibly could.
And I think Little may have been in front. I don't know if you go back and watch the replay, Binnington makes the right pad save. It drops down. Ryan Little, I think it was Little, has an opportunity to poke it underneath him, and Binnington rolls back and takes away the rebound as well. I thought it was
really
a brilliant save. He made a couple big saves, a breakaway save on Perreault Like, he was locked in last night.
Yeah. No, it was a great night.
There was some great goaltending
performances. In an overtime game, night one of the playoffs, you can't ask
that Barzal, what a hell of a move.
I thought he was the best player on the ice for the whole game last night. Like, what I saw, he looked
unbelievable. I wondered about him. Is he going to be able to get this done in that type of environment? He was awesome.
You know, the one thing I did the Islanders three games in a row almost, and I remember talking to their coaching staff, and they were very happy with Barzal. Statistically, it was almost like, and I know this is, remember when Scotty Bowman said to Steve Yzerman, you want to get 100 points every year, go ahead, we won't win. But if you want to get 80 and play a more team game, there was times this year where Barry Trotz held Barzal really accountable, pushing him down the lineup, not giving him ice time that he probably should have deserved or wanted after coming off an 82 or 84 point season last year. He was unreal last night. The Islanders did not look intimidated one bit. If anything, they were all over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was back on their heel. I didn't think Matt Murray particularly played very well, but the Islanders deserved. They had two disallowed goals as well.
Yeah, that's right.
33 seconds into the game, Kunackle scores. Matt Martin was late getting out.
No, like, the
Islanders were the better team last night.
They were, and they played the way they did all season, right? Yep. It was a clean hockey game, an energetic hockey game. They kind of rose to the occasion of the playoff intensity. They kind of supplied what the intensity level was going to be, and it was on Pittsburgh to try to keep up. Winnipeg, St. Louis was incredibly physical and intense. Both teams were grinding. I think Bobby Mack put it best last night on SportsCenter. It was a race to two. You could tell whoever got to two first was going to win the game. And, you know, when you look ahead to the game tonight with the Leafs and the Bruins, you know, we've talked a lot about their defensive issues, you know, which are glaring, and they've been a problem all year. But they also have had issues this year in terms of intensity. You know, when they're in a loud building, you know, there's a lot of negative energy being directed towards them.
Right.
And it's kind of it's a moment in time where you're like, do you have what it takes to push through? Or would you rather take the easy way out? And there have been countless opportunities for them to prove otherwise this year, and they haven't shown that they can do that. And that is one item that I think we really need to focus on here, and we're going to find out when the puck drops tonight. You know, Austin Matthews was asked about the importance of the first 10 minutes tonight, which it's a cliched answer, it goes without saying, but when Matthews was asked, you know, what's it going to be like once you step on the ice tonight, here's what he said.
I think the first 10 minutes is going to be key for us, and, you know, the building's going to be rocking, and I think for us, we don't want to sit back that first time. We want to take the game to them, regardless of where it's being played and the atmosphere and whatnot, so that first 10 minutes will be important. I think we want to come out aggressive and just play our game.
So, we'll see. You know, they're paying lip service to it, but let's see. Can you rise to the occasion here? Because I know what I'm getting out of Boston. Like, Boston's going to be energetic. They'll be physical. They're going to play well. You know, like, Patrice Bergeron is playing well tonight. He doesn't take nights off in big games.
So was 63, and so was 88.
Yeah, and Chara will be effective. But Chara will make an impact on the game. Will the Leafs match the intensity tonight?
Will Rask, though. That's the thing. Like, I looked last night. There was some, like, I didn't particularly think Vasilevsky was strong. Like that David Savard play. Now, Hedman, I didn't know what the hell he was doing.
That was
that
the
play.
Worst game I've ever seen him play. He was brutal all night.
But
I took him first overall in my pick.
Fine. Victor Hedman, I think,
he'll
is going to
be
fine. He's going to be like John Cooper's not scratching him next game.
No.
But, you know, David Savard, nice move outside, inside, but you got to make some of these saves at the right time. I thought Vasilevsky was off. Their big boys were really quiet last night. Now, Columbus may have did that to them, but all I could think about heading into tonight's game, we talk about the goaltending situation in Calgary and in Colorado. All eyes will be on that. But all eyes will be on Frederik Andersen and Tuukka Rask. If Tuukka's average, I can see the Leafs putting up a five spot. If Freddie's average, I can see a five spot there. Like, this is going to be enough lip service. Let's get this going.
Yeah.
Like, we've been talking about this for over a year, really,
when you think about it.
But the one thing I'm trying to not get ahead of myself is one game is one game. And I think they're saying that in Tampa. They're saying that in, you know, whoever lost last night. I'll go right through the Nashville. That was a good game. Nashville played pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's more...
In Winnipeg, they're probably saying it.
It's easier to say it if you lost and you're on the road.
Right.
Right. Like, I think Vegas today, they're like, we just, you know, it wasn't our night, didn't happen.
Right.
San Jose came out big lead.
Three home teams lost last
That's
night.
That's what I'm saying. If you're Winnipeg, Nashville, or, you know, Tampa, I think, is a different beast. That was a weird game. Although, you know, reading some comments today from their players who came out and spoke, you know, they were kind of alluding to the fact that they know they had a style in the regular season that was incredibly effective. They won 62 games.
Right.
But, like, they know or they feel like they have to adjust their game a little bit.
Might have to adapt.
In the playoffs. Sure. That, to me, is... I'm surprised that they said that. Like, I am. Because, you lost last night, and it got weird, and Hedman was brutal, and Vasilevsky gave up some weird goals. But you still won 62 games.
Yeah.
And you were up 3-0. Like, if I'm John Cooper, I would think I'm going in there saying, guys, forget it. Yeah. Play like you did all season. Don't
play
start
like you
changing
did the first
your
two
game.
Periods.
Exactly. Don't change your game.
They were in complete control of that game, took their foot off the gas, and Columbus smelled blood and went after it. And good on Columbus. Like, they didn't try to, you know, limp their way in. They didn't put their tail between their legs at 3-0.
I don't know what you guys thought. I give my brother credit, though. He's like, Columbus is going to cause Tampa all kinds of problems.
Well, I said,
no way.
I said yesterday on the show, Columbus is going to get two games off of Tampa. They got one last night.
Well, I mean, they're obviously off to a great start.
I'll tell you what. Want to talk about pressure points in a series? I don't care how good you are, how good a team you have, how good a record you have. That will get your attention awfully quick when the visitor gets game one on the road.
Well, Tampa hasn't faced any adversity.
No kidding.
Any
they got some
year.
Very quickly.
Yeah, that actually could be a rude awakening and a good one for them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be shocked if they
I couldn't
off
get the
straight.
Negative out of my head because I would be thinking, man, if we lose the next one, we're probably losing this series.
Well, I
wouldn't be surprised if they ran off four straight wins.
Yeah, I think tomorrow
they
night.
They win in five still.
Sergei Bobrovsky is going to have the game of his life tomorrow. Because Tampa's going to put up 40 shots and have 25 quality chances. And the only reason it doesn't hit the 40 shots, if they end up scoring a bunch of goals, then you know usually you get outshot because of score effects.
Well, but these teams that won on the road in game one, they're playing with house money.
Yeah.
You know, the Jackets, the Stars, and the Blues are playing with house money. And, you know, again, to bring it back to the Maple Leafs, they never make it easy on themselves. They always take the difficult route all year when you thought, okay, this would be an easy one for them. They find a way to fumble all over themselves and make it difficult. But if you can win game one, changes the whole mentality of the team because you're playing with house money in game two on the road. You're almost like, okay, we got a real chance to put a bit of a nail in the coffin. But let's say you lose, you're still coming home for game three with a split and you're ecstatic.
I've always said I prefer to start on the road because you can catch a team, you go through all the hoopla, the pregame, your friends and family, the tickets, all the distractions. When you start on the road, there's really not a lot of distractions. You stay at a hotel, you stay together, you get your pregame in, and you go in, and your whole thought process is to win one of two games. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, I went back and looked at the scores and stuff of last season, the Leafs versus the Bruins in the playoffs. And look who played, the minutes and all that. I know people were like, well, John Tavares for Thomas Plekanec. No, that's not the case. That's Freddie the Goat for Thomas Plekanec. Plekanec played in the first two games 10 and 11 minutes.
It's when Kadri got
it's
suspended.
It's when Kadri got suspended that Plekanec went up.
Right.
Like, we can't lose sight of that. That's Freddie the Goat's minutes. That's not John Tavares. No. John Tavares is where Kadri and Bozak had to play. And your boy Bozy scored a big goal last night.
A big goal last night. And, you know, Kadri's a guy, he's had to take a step back in terms of his role, in terms of his importance, in terms of his stats. You know, he had back-to-back 30-goal years. He was a guy that was constantly involved in storylines, in tee-ups, in reviews, and everything, in terms of him playing a prominent role in games. It hasn't really happened for him this year. But it's a real opportunity for him. Like, it's not as significant as William Nylander literally saving his season. Like, Nazem Kadri with a good playoff doesn't save his season. He didn't have an atrocious season.
No.
But I think he's got a real opportunity to prove the importance that he played, like the importance of his role on this team. And he's a veteran. He's one of two guys that were there in 2013, let alone last year.
When I saw Patrick Laine scored last night, I almost thought that's William Nylander too. Like Laine scored the first goal of the series. And I kept thinking
that, and he had some chances last night.
He had a crossbar, he had a post, he had a play where Binnington got a blocker on it, it rolled through. Like I thought Laine could have been their best player last night. He was really good.
Yeah, he was
good. And dangerous. That's the clean slate. All I could think about, if you want to tie that back to the Leafs, that could be William Nylander, that could be Nazem Kadri, whoever you want to, that could be Patrick Marleau. People who didn't have the regular season you expected out of them. That's where it starts.
Tigers on 18, and we're tracking it. And the Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Spring for Subaru with symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates on 2019 models. Andrew Raycroft, former Bruin, former Maple Leaf, former teammate of yours. We've never had him on the show. He's down in Boston.
One of my favorite teammates.
Okay, he's going to join us, and we'll get his take on the series. Who on the Maple Leafs does he believe scares the Bruins the most? Is there a chance Yaroslav Halak sees action in this series? That and more coming up. Andrew Raycroft will join us. We're teeing up Leafs-Bruins tonight. Game one. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. All right, it's game one tonight. Leafs-Bruins down in Boston. Puck drop at 7 right here on TSN 1050. And don't forget to head over to Amsterdam Brewhouse down on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. If you're looking to watch the game with a crowd and good food, good beers, I mean, really can't go wrong there. I have couch written all over me tonight. I'm going right home, watching the game. And this is what I love about, like, when the Leafs are in the playoffs, how different the viewing experience is for me. Last night, I'm flipping everywhere. Like I said, when it was 3-0 Tampa, I'm like,
I had
all
the games going. Period over, go to another game, and then you go to the four-pack on the same monitor.
Flipping all over the
tonight,
place.
Tonight, you focus in.
Tonight, I know I'm watching two games. I'm watching the Leafs and Bruins, and I'm watching Calgary, Colorado tonight.
Do you not agree that the NHL, I don't want to take shots at every different scenario, but could you not stagger the times a little bit better last night? I know, I mean, Eastern
and West.
Well, I want
to know one thing. I got to admit, the Tampa or Columbus game,
yeah.
I think it was in the second period of the Islander game, and I looked and the game was over. Was that like at 6 p.m.?
No, it was 7 o'clock and 7:30, but with anthems and everything, sharp, it changes. Yeah, I thought they actually did a pretty good job last night, Noodles.
Because you caught up to
it was 7:30, 8:09 was the Nashville game, wasn't it? 10:30. You can't ask for much better than that.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I just found, like, in trying to watch all of them, there was, I guess there's no perfect scenario when you have five games and you try and want to get to all five.
I think tonight they'd have a better opportunity. Because
for sure. I mean, you've got
the 7 o'clock game. Leafs Bruins, the Carolina Washington game is 7:30. That should start at 8:30. You should have 7, 8:30, 10:30.
Correct.
You know, that something along those lines.
Or 7, 8:30 or 7, 9 and 10:30.
Whatever it is.
Either way, like I'll have them up. All focus, all eyes will be on that Leaf game. Just because I think it's the most intriguing series. Like for me. Because when you talk about coin flips and trying to figure that out, you know, I still think San Jose Vegas is a coin flip for me. Winnipeg, St. Louis, coin flip. Those are good teams. This one is a coin flip for me because of the way both teams are constructed. They got a lot of skill.
Well, I would throw the Islanders and the Penguins in there now.
Yes.
I would. I think all four 2-3 seed series.
Yeah, you're right.
Could go the distance.
And we have no idea how Colorado's going to go into
Calgary.
Yeah,
that's a wild card game, but you're right. I mean, we'll find out tonight.
Yeah.
Here is longtime NHL goaltender, former Maple Leaf, former Bruin. He's down in Boston. He's a Nesson analyst. Your boy, your former teammate.
He thinks he's a Nesson analyst.
Was he like a fringe?
I've watched him.
I don't know.
He's a part
he's
of
on
the program
desk
down there. Yeah. Here's Andrew Raycroft. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Good.
Good to talk to you all. Always the best.
Good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, you too.
you're like legitimately on the panel, right? Like,
yes.
We're, what is O even talking
no,
about?
I'm just joking around. Of course he is. He's an actual real-life broadcaster.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
I can tell you, man. What's the buzz like down there in Boston for a rematch of the first round between these two teams?
Oh, there's a lot of excitement, obviously. Everyone feels pretty good about this Bruins team. You know, we come into the playoffs again, you know, is Tuukka Rask the goalie to do it here? You know, that's the narrative all year. That's the narrative tonight. And that'll be the narrative after the game tonight. So they feel good about the team. They, you know, I think they've real, like, as the last 3 days have gone by, that, you know, everyone's talking about Tampa, and then they realize that they, you know, it's a tough series here playing the Leafs right now too.
The one thing, you brought it up, from watching and reading from the outside, it seems like Tuukka is a lightning rod there. How close or how short of a leash would he have, given that Halak's had a terrific season?
No, it's a great question, and he is the lightning rod, and I think, you know, certainly this is the shortest leash Tuukka's ever been on heading into the playoffs. Halak had a great season, filled in at the right times, came up big when Tuukka struggled at the start of the year, and he, you know, he just was consistently good all season, and as we all know, we've seen Halak play in big games, you know, in Montreal and in the Olympics. So this is a short leash. I don't think it's, you know, the first period leash, but, you know, it's certainly not, you know, without question that he's not going to get into the series or any series going forward.
Razor, Brian was talking yesterday about the negativity in Toronto. You played here, you're well aware of it, but there's just some skepticism as far as the Leafs winning this series. They're like, oh no, it's Boston again, there's demons in that building. Is the overall narrative in Boston like, oh, come on Maple Leafs, let's get this over again, and like an overconfidence with the fan base?
With the fan base, I think there's a little bit of overconfidence for sure. You know, as much as last year, you know, was a loss, I think everyone goes back to the 2003, you know, the 4-1. That's all you 4-1 in the third period. You know, the Leafs will find a way to blow it. And, you know, so the narrative goes back to that, certainly. So there's, you know, they're definitely a little more confident fan base than what the Leaf fan base is in general. But that being said, I don't think that is translating inside the room, and, you know, everything the coaches and players have said, that, you know, they know how tough it's going to be, and we saw it last night. Every series is tough. You guys know it. O-Dog Noodles, you know, playing in these games, they're all so tough to win, and to win the first round of the playoffs is just so difficult.
With former NHL goalie and Bruins analyst Andrew Raycroft.
Talk to us about David Backes being a scratch. And I know Bruce Cassidy came out the other day and said he wanted a little bit of a faster roster.
He wouldn't be a scratch
roster.
To me. He would be in there.
Well, I know. We discussed it at length on the panel. But is it what's the narrative around David Backes there, and where would he fit if he ends up sliding into the series at some point?
Well, if he does slide in, he's not going to be any higher than that third line, maybe, you know, but more likely the fourth line, to be honest. You know, that's where his role is now. You know, he's proven over the year, when he did end up getting on the first or second line, he just didn't have the speed to keep up with Krejci or Patrice. So he's, you know, he's turned into a role player, and, you know, he did a good job, and he's a big leader in the dressing room here. And you know, you never really want a guy making $6 million being healthy scratch the first series. But I think with what Cassidy's done really well all year is adjusted and put guys in positions to succeed. And I think, you know, it's not, because he's not playing in game one doesn't mean that he's not going to play game two or three or four. I think they have a plan in place, but they're certainly not afraid to adjust in game and game to game.
The Maple Leafs obviously have a bunch of really talented players in Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Morgan Rielly might be up for the Norris this year. Is there one player in particular that you think scares Bruce Cassidy the most?
If it was me, I would pick Nylander, just in the simple fact that, you know, he's obviously, you know, been sleeping since December for the most part. You know, didn't really catch on like everyone expected him to. But, you know, playoffs are a new season, and he's a guy who, if he scores goals, that just adds an extra piece that the Bruins have to worry about. So obviously Matthews and Tavares are going to do their thing up the middle, and Marner, but But if they add another guy like Nylander, where they goes to from four to five guys to worry about scoring to five to six, I think that can be difficult for the Bruins to rein in.
Sleeping since December is a little harsh there, Razor.
Well, five
at least
goals?
We don't lick people's helmets.
Yeah, I meant it in the most positive way. I couldn't find a better word to say.
Nah, it's nicer than what a lot of people have been saying up here.
Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine what O-Dog said the last few months.
It's been pretty rough. You know, Marchand is a guy, I expect him to do dumb things. Like, I know he's changed, or he's claiming he's changed.
I don't think he's going to go back to that level of stupidity. I think that's he might elbow a guy in the head and knock him out, but yeah. I think the
licking, I love how that's less stupid than licking someone in the shoulder.
It's like a hockey play.
Yeah, technically crushing a guy with an elbow is a hockey
play. The scary
part
is he had 100 points this year.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about a guy who had 24 points and had eight goals and is going to play 8.5 minutes.
No, he's going to fill the game sheet up, but I'm is it going to be will there be stupidity
column as well?
Razor, what about his line?
No, I mean, the reputation's going to follow him forever at this point. Now, I mean, he's done enough. I mean, this is the first full season he's never been suspended, so I mean, you know, he's been in the league for 8-9 years, so you know, he has a reputation. And to be honest, guys, I've kind of felt that way going into the season. There's a lot of lip service, like, yeah, I'm changing and I won't, you know, and I was, you know, I figured by December he's going to have a 3 or 4 game suspension, but he really has reined it back. You know, he's always going to be a guy who plays on the edge. You always expect him to kind of do the unexpected, but he has pulled. You could see where he, you know, the wires were about to cross and he was going to go out and do something, and he's kind of reined it in. So, yes, you know, the playoffs bring another emotion, and yes, he's probably going to get under the skin of, you know, a few of the guys out on the ice, but I agree that in the fact that he's not going to go, he's realized that he just can't go to the point of licking a guy in the face.
How about his right winger, Razor? This 88, does he like playing the Maple Leafs or what? I mean, it's just it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he likes to play the Leafs and he likes to shoot the puck. I mean, a great kid, just a great personality. I spent 10 days in China with him a couple years ago, so I got to know him pretty well over there. And he's just a great, you know, likable guy, and he's learned to shoot the puck, and he's learned to find the holes like a young Jeff O'Neill, and he can get a shot off quickly anywhere.
That's a little tire pumping.
That's some pretty big shoes. Right, there.
Oh, yeah. Same everything. Skates like me, everything, buddy.
Same jibs.
Yeah.
Same gleam.
Teeth falling
same
out.
Same smile.
Falls down at functions on the ice, hurts his thumb.
I wonder what happened. That's probably the biggest similarity around midnight getting into a cab.
On the curb.
Yeah, I think we all know what's going on there. Well, enjoy the series. I'm sure we'll bother you again at some point over the next couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Good talking to you guys.
There's Andrew Raycroft, former NHL goalie and now Bruins analyst.
I always like to point out about Andrew Raycroft, did he not set the single season wins for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yep.
Now, I think Freddie just
hated
broke
his
down,
guts right? within 10 games the next year.
Well, no. It was, I think it was his first year he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was. They won a lot of games.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs, which wasn't his fault necessarily, obviously. Right. But, he won a lot of games.
I go back a long way as far as playing against him, because I played against him when he was in Providence, too.
Yeah, he's a big fan of both of you guys.
Yeah. Not so much you.
I wasn't necessarily getting...
He doesn't know you, though.
No, I understand that. I've never met him.
I've told you before, but I love it when the guy says, oh, yeah, O-Dog and Noodles, you would know this. It's like you wouldn't.
Every series is tough. You guys know it. O-Dog, Noodles, you know, playing in these games.
He could have left it at you guys know it. Why did he have to qualify? Two of the three of you know it.
Yeah. It's like the host would have no idea about the importance of a game one.
Well, here, it gets better because he's on Twitter, right? And our Twitter account tweets out, Andrew Raycroft is coming up, and he quote tweets it and goes, never turn down a chance to talk with O-Dog and Noodles. That's it.
I saw that. I was going to retweet it, but I thought that was such a gutless move.
Dance around yours truly.
For me to retweet it.
No, that's fine. Just don't forget, remember that the next time Dwayne Casey comes on the show.
Oh, believe me, we do.
Remember that.
That's a good point, Brian.
That is good.
Yeah, hook me. I need some confidence boosting. Give me some Hazy B.
That's a good point, Brian.
Yeah.
There we go.
See,
Hazy B, you're the epitome of what sports broadcasting in Toronto is all about.
That's right.
I guarantee you, though, Andrew Raycroft has heard you sewer him somewhere along the way.
No, you weren't in the business.
I was in close enough where I'm sure I've made some comments.
I'm sure you've had some hot tips.
You were doing this?
He wasn't here in 2004.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was not.
2005, 2006, 2006, 2007.
Yeah, he got traded for... Rask got drafted in 05. And yeah, but he was here in... your years he was here. That was post-trade deadline. I wasn't doing radio at that point.
Once a year, we bring up his name.
And I make a joke.
And there's some sort of like a carving feature in there.
Yeah. I'm not saying I expect him to like me. I don't think he likes anybody from Toronto. I don't.
I live here.
You're from St. Albert. You know, like and you guys played in the league. He's got more of a connection to you. I would guess Andrew Raycroft probably despises every single media member in Toronto.
Yeah.
Probably. And I don't blame him for it because he got run out of town in a lot of ways. He's a good guest, too. He was great. Like, he was a fun guy to have on.
Well, we should have him on later in the series as dust starts to settle.
We will. Speaking of Dwayne Casey, the Pistons, they got in, and they're playing Milwaukee. The Raptors have Orlando. And I like that. I mean, Orlando had a great second
crush
half.
Crush fest. Better be a crush fest.
Honestly, this is where you will learn how much they've grown, because if this goes 6 or 7...
It's a joke.
So it's got to go 5 and under.
I think so. I think there's pressure on the Raptors to win this in 5 or less.
5 or less, yes.
5 or less. Give yourself a break, because, you know, this was a title for Orlando just getting in. They had to win a bunch of games down the stretch. They haven't been a playoff team in a long time. They're a young team. They've played really well. Really well down the stretch. Vucevic is a problem for the Raps, and he has been during the season. But this is why he got Kawhi.
I think the season series was 2-2 as well.
Yeah, listen, and they smoked them at Scotiabank a few weeks ago. Came in here on a Sunday night, spanked them. But this should be done in 5 or less. Prove that you're a different team. You've
load
got a different
management,
approach.
You're well rested.
Absolutely. This morning on First Stop, Landsberg and Koliakovo announced a Raptors playoff keyword. If you heard it, now is your chance to call 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. The first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see the Raptors game one Saturday night down at Scotiabank. You talk about jockeying times. 5 p.m. tip-off.
Right.
8 p.m. puck drop Saturday night. Perfect. Perfect. By 5 p.m., set up shop, and it's Raptors right into Maple Leafs. Go time.
Beautiful.
Ray Ferraro will join us live from Calgary. He's calling that game tonight. He's coming up in about a half an hour. Bob McKenzie in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. We're teeing up Leafs-Bruins tonight. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drop at 7. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Razor's getting good feedback on Twitter. People are suggesting have him on more often.
Andrew Raycroft, he was great.
Could be our Boston correspondent.
Well, we'd have to probably wrestle him away from the lunch, because I'm pretty sure he's like Andy Petrillo's favorite guest of all time.
Well, and the producer of the lunch was a little bit choked, too.
Well, she had booked him, and then...
She had to do some work. That's what it was.
We basically mowed Leafs Lunch's lawn today, because they were supposed to have Raycroft on, and we stepped in and said, we're going to have to basically sewer you here. It was a lawn mowing.
There's a history. He played with him.
Yeah, we've never had him on before. Yeah.
No, we were just chatting casually, and I said, hey, you want to come on tomorrow, tee up the series? Yeah, sure.
Steph went nuts.
He's a
nuts.
Dummy. He didn't tell me that he already booked the lunch, and then we had to gas the lunch.
Yeah, Steph went nuts.
Yeah, she wasn't happy. I don't think Andy was happy either.
But I booked him first.
Yeah. Well, they had Bob Beers on today, which is one of the great handles of all time.
I played with Bobby Beers.
Bob Beers.
He's awesome.
He was great, too. He was great with Craig and Andy today.
I played with both of those analysts for the Bruins, Bobby Beers and Andy Brickley.
Andy Brickley sounds like he was conceived in Fenway Park.
Yeah, he's
like in a bathroom.
He sounds so Boston.
He's the area. Yeah, for sure. He speaks like the area. Bobby Beers is awesome. Both of those guys were teammates of mine in the minors. They were great people, and we had some times that we can't really bring up on air, but... Like, good players, good guys, and good analysts, too. Brick's a guy, he's got a... Jack Edwards, I'm not the biggest fan of his call, I'll be honest.
They're catering to their own market.
Which is fair.
That's the way it goes.
I'm sure there's people outside of Toronto that look at Bonesy
absolutely.
As a homer and all of that.
Yep,
but absolutely. Ultimately, they do good jobs, and they're good analysts, and they're good people. And, you know, this is going to be a great series, though. I kind of chuckled to myself last night before I went to bed about... The possibility of just Rennie Rancourt showing up out of nowhere. Like, I don't know why.
Running out.
I just think if this gets to a game seven in Boston.
I'm worried you're right.
I could see this guy in a tux come out and just out of nowhere.
Oh, they won't. It won't be announced.
It won't be announced or anything. Although the out of respect, the anthem singer now will be told you're going to stand down.
Yeah, of course. But who cares? You've been on the job for 1 year.
Yeah.
Renee Rancourt was singing the anthem down there for like 30 years, I think. I could see it. I know yesterday I said 0% on the Jerry's that he would show up because you're in retirement. You're an anthem singer. You're not a quarterback.
I know.
You're not Michael Jordan. You don't get to come back out of retirement. But at the same time, you know, I think it would get that building rocking on a game seven. But I would embrace it if I'm the Maple Leafs. Bring that guy out because it would be that much more meaningful to have him in the building if you can finally beat this team.
Yeah.
Because, you know, game seven in 13, game seven last year, Rene Rancourt was out there with his stupid uniform and his fist pumping and his throwing the numbers up and all that.
And then pointing.
And then pointing. Yeah, just he does total his thing. Hero move.
Hey, listen. Both teams have to make it to a game seven. There's no guarantee here. Let's get through game one and see what the pulse is. Get through game two.
There's going to be an overreaction tomorrow, regardless of what happens. That's just the nature of the playoffs.
It is, because I'm sure they're overreacting in Winnipeg. They're overreacting in Nashville. The teams that may have been favored on paper or whatever heading in lost last night. 4 out of 5. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Dallas winning, St. Louis winning. Yeah. And certainly Columbus.
Like
Columbus winning, that's honestly one of the more shocking playoff victories of the past decade.
But people had Vegas over San Jose, did they not?
Yeah, but San Jose is still a really good team, and they were at home.
Yeah, right? I had San Jose, but I...
Like, I think if the Leafs win tonight, it's not a shocking upset.
Did you see that Pavelski deflect that shot with his jaw?
Yeah.
His jibs?
Yeah. They lost a couple jibs inside.
Well, his face would look disgusting today.
He just fired up the Patty LaFontaine visor. Yeah. And away he went.
It's playoffs.
Like the chin strap, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I support that.
It was almost the Dave Cutler, like the kicker in the CFL. They have the just one.
Just the one bar.
The one
just
bar. Just a complete waste of time. That's what Pavelski needs.
Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.